And if you would, please remain standing for the reading of God's Word this morning. And we do have a special, but first of all, if you would, we're going to turn and read from several passages, and you don't have to turn to all of them. Amen. But we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Then we're going to read through Psalm, verse 12 and verse 6. And then the text that we'll be at is going to be Psalm 19. So Ephesians 6, Psalm 12, and Psalm 19. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10. By the way, if you're open to that passage, your Bible should fall open to that automatically. We've been there all month long. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What do you want us to do, Lord? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why, Lord? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so the Holy Spirit directs Paul to write verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Of course, this is standing for the Bible month, and so verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So as we're standing and while we're standing, you and I need to stand with our helmets on, knowing that we're saved, acting like we're saved, and then taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now back over in Psalm 12 and verse number 6. Psalm 12 and verse number 6, this is our verse for the month. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So you can't get any better than God's word. And then Psalm 19. Psalm 19 and verse number 7. The Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And I want you to read verses 10 through 14 with me together. Here we go. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So we've been looking at our need to stand. Our theme all year long has been stand and withstand in the Lord, ready for battle. It says be able to stand, be able to withstand. And then also, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And we need to stand for the Bible and stand in the Bible and stand with the Bible. Why? That is what we have as offensive weaponry along with our prayer life. Amen. And so let's make sure that we're ready for a battle. David is going to teach us some things here today about this psalm. We'll pick up where we left off last week. And I do trust it'll be a blessing to you today. Father, bless now in your word, God. Help us to know more about the instruction that you have. And Lord, help us to leave here differently than when we came in, more equipped, more armed, more ready for battle with the word of God. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Minister to each and every heart here. You know the needs are many. But Lord, you're an omnipotent and an omniscient and an omnipresent God. So Lord, minister to each one of the needs under the sound of my voice this morning. Allow them by the Holy Spirit of God to get exactly what they need for today, to face the host and the onslaught that they'll face this week. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Save that one that's lost, that one that's wavering, strengthen them, that one that has fallen, pick them back up, that one that is strong in the Lord right now, keep that one strong. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. We have a special.
To some it's just an emblem of formality. It's a symbol that's been used so frequently. Many blaspheme and despise, though it's ancient and abides. An icon that stands for life to me. There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels watch as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. Suffering, yet it brought us peace. It bridged a gap for man, offered cleansing for our sin. An icon that reminds us that we're free. There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels watched as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. That's where I was saved. I was saved. There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, took the nails for you and me. Angels watched as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. The cross. Though he could have walked away, he chose.
About you, but I'm glad that
He did not choose to walk away, that the Lord Jesus Christ chose the cross. Amen. The cross of Calvary for you and for me. And if you're thankful for the cross, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. If it wasn't for the cross, we'd still be lost. Amen. Well, we're talking about standing for the Bible month all last month and all this month. We've been talking about that. You know, there is no other precious and priceless book than the Bible, the Word of God. Can you just imagine what we'd be like without the Word of God? I mean, just imagine. You know, if, number one, we'd be lost. We'd be lost. If we knew not who God is, if we knew not what God wanted, if we knew not the eternal end to mankind without Jesus Christ, without the Savior, without the Redeemer, without the blood atonement of what Jesus Christ did, can you imagine not having that knowledge? And that knowledge is all contained in the Word of God. I could not fathom not having the Bible. Say, just because you have it, that's right. And so many people don't have it. And that's why it's our job to make sure that they not only get it or have it or see it, they get it from us. We may not be able to give people a whole lot, but you know what? We can give them Jesus. Amen. And he is in the Word of God. So far, we've looked at what the Bible is. It's 66 books written over 1,500 years ago with 40 different authors. What's in the Bible? We saw it's God's directive words. Then we began looking at what the Bible does, not just what the Bible is and what's in the Bible, what the Bible does. We saw Psalm 119. The psalmist details how I love the Bible. I love the Bible. Every other word, he's talking about how he loves it, how he needs it, how he wants. And I do trust that's your desire here today. Then we began looking in Psalm 19. The psalmist details what happens if we live the Bible and then tells you the benefits of it too. Amen. It's nothing like telling you if you live it, this is what happens. And there's a benefit to it. By the way, there is a benefit to the Word of God. Amen. It is mankind's ultimate good. Amen. And God so loved the world that he did what he gave his only begotten Son. By the way, he didn't stop there. He gave us the revealed will of God in the Word of God. Amen. That's how we know that God so loved the world. Amen. And so in Psalm 19, we began looking at that last week. Last week, we saw, according to Psalm 19, the Bible challenges us in verse number 7. We looked at verses 1 through 6, how the heavens declare the glory of God. But then he begins to get more personal, says God's got more than just a natural revelation. He has a spiritual revelation to us. It's called the Word of God. And he says down here, the Bible challenges us, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It brings us back to God. Then he says the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, gives us wisdom. Not only does the Bible challenge us, but then it cheers us in verse number 8 we saw last week. Statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You know, you're happy when you do the will of God. I remember the day I surrendered to preach way back in September of 1994. The day I surrendered to preach was one of the happiest days of my life. Why? That was the will of God for my life, was to surrender to the will of God. Another happy day was when I got saved. Amen. That was the will of God for my life. And when you perform the will of God, you get happy. Amen. You get happy. Now, you may be a little nervous. You may be a little scared. I remember when I first got saved, I was happy, but I thought, oh, what does it mean to be a Christian? What am I supposed to do now? And I thought, call somebody and tell them. And that's what we did. I remember when I first surrendered to preach, I thought, man, I'm happy. Well, what do I do now? Where do I go to preach? Oh, my soul. What if God sends me to Joliet, Illinois?
No.
What if he sends me to New Jersey?
Oh, no.
I thought, oh, I don't want to go there. Then where does God send everybody? Africa. What if he sends me to Africa? I thought, I got to eat strange things. What if he sends me to the Philippines and Cambodia? I heard they eat strange things there, too. And I thought, it's good to be saved and it's good to be called, but now what's God going to do with me? You know, when you surrender to the will of God, you're excited, you're cheerful, but you're a little nervous sometimes. You know, fulfilling the will of God is not always going to be, ha, 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 ha. Sometimes it's nervous. I got to confront that coworker. I got to confront that boss. I got to talk to that subordinate. I got to talk to that neighbor. I got to talk to that classmate. I got to talk to that bully. Wow, I don't. But after you do it, cheer.
Yeah.
Cheer. Amen. The Bible cheers us. He says down there, The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It lights our way so that we can see spiritually. But then we saw the Bible changes us, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. It brings lasting and long change. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The Bible is trustworthy always. And now we're going to pick it up in verse number 10. So the Bible challenges us, verse 7, cheers us, verse 8, changes us, verse 9. But then we see something else down here in verse number 10 as a result of the Bible ability to challenge us, to cheer us, to change us. The Bible then in verse 10 should be coveted. And you say, oh, covet. The Bible says in Exodus, thou shalt not covet. Let me help you out some here. The word covet means to have a strong desire for something. To want to have, is there a problem with coveting the word of God, having a strong desire with God? Now, there's a big problem with coveting someone's wife. There's a big problem with coveting someone's possessions. But when it comes down to God, you want to covet God. You want to have a strong desire for God. You want God. And by the way, the stronger your desire for God, the stronger will be your direction toward God. May I submit to you that some people don't have a desire for God? And therefore, they don't go towards God. I learned something a long time ago. What you desire, you tend to go after. The word desired here in verse number 10 has the same basic meaning as covet or lust. It's a strong urge. It's to possess something. He says more to be desired or more to be coveted. We usually go after that which we desire. I remember when G2 and Joshua were little tykes. My wife would hold them in their arms and they would see the shiny, dangly earrings. And they had a strong desire to possess those earrings. And they would say, and they would reach for them. G2 started that whole thing. And Joshua came along and Joshua would reach for those earrings. And mom would say, Joshua, G2. And then she'd move them to this side. But guess what? There's an earring on that side too. And you know what they do? They'd reach for them. And then I would hold them. I didn't have any earrings. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know what I'm saying? He's saying, preacher, you don't know I don't have any earrings. Neither should you if you're male. Amen. But that's another message. Amen. And Joshua and G2 would get up at me. They would look at my ear. And there was nothing to grab. There was no hair to grab like they grabbed my wife's hair. But I had something else. I had glasses. And so they would start trying to grab for the glasses. And G2 actually got them one time and took them off. And I can't see. I said, no, son. No, don't take Glad Daddy's glasses off. You know what made them go after the glasses? What made them go after the earrings? A strong desire. They said more to be desired are those glasses. More to be desired are those earrings. And they went after. What am I saying? Normally what you desire, you go after. Amen. I remember holding a little Joy for the baby dedication. I think she took my glasses slap off and I can't read without my glasses. I'm trying to read scripture and Joy had them in her hands. And I'm like, no, Joy, I need those back. I can't see. More to be desired. What am I saying? Knowing that the Bible cheers us and challenges us and changes us, it should be coveted. And the meaning there is to go after, to lust for the Bible, if you would. More to be desired. The word means to covet, to delight or greatly delight in, to be greatly beloved or to lust after. So more to be coveted or more to delightly great in or to greatly delight in or to be beloved. And so as a result of this, the Bible, it not only changes us and cheers us and challenges us, it should be desired. We should desire the Bible. David said more to be desired. By the way, he says this down there in verse number 10. More to be desired are they. What is they? The word of God. Than gold, yea, than much fine gold. How many of y'all like gold? Now, I got a gold ring on. I got a gold watch. Gold-ish. I like gold. Now, you may not like gold, but you like the wealth that it can get you. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? The way we would desire gold, the word of God should move us to desire it more than gold. And we may not want gold, but most of us desire wealth. The statement, if only I had blank. Fill it in your own mind. If only I had blank. I know my son would say, if only I had a McLaren. McLarens cost money. Mm-hmm. You might say, if only I had another car. If only I had another house. If only I had six digits in my bank account. If only I had good health. If only I had obedient kids. If only I had. Now, it depends upon what you want. Most of us know that whatever it is that we want costs us something. You want good health, medically speaking, it's going to cost you some money to stay medically healthy. Have you ever checked the pharmacies lately? Medicines cost. That's why so many Arizonans go across to Mexico. Amen. But think about the statement, what would it cost you to get what you desire? What would it cost you? You say a $6 million man body, like Lee Majors. How many of y'all remember the Bionic Man back in the days? Amen. Get me a $6 million body that won't break down. It's all mechanical. Well, it's going to cost you $6 million. We may not want gold, but most of us desire wealth. And that which we desire, we tend to go after. By the way, did you know that gold is one of the most useful metals? Let me read to you about gold. Of all the minerals mined from the earth, none is more useful than gold. Its usefulness is derived from a diversity of special properties. Gold conducts electricity, does not tarnish, is very easy to work, can be drawn into wire, can be hammered into thin sheets, alloys with many other metals, can be melted and cast into highly detailed shapes, has a wonderful color and a brilliant luster. Gold is a memorable metal that occupies a special place in the human mind. Throughout the history of our planet, almost every established culture has used gold to symbolize power. Did you know that? Beauty, purity, and accomplishment. Today, we continue to use gold for our most significant objects. Wedding rings, Olympic medals, Oscars, Grammys, money, crucifixes, and ecclesiastical art. No other substance of the same rarity holds a more visible and prominent place in our society. One of the most precious things in the temple of Solomon was gold. Gold is also used in jewelry, banking, electronics, computers, dentistry. How many of y'all got gold in your mouth? Amen. And medical, aerospace, awards, medals, glassmaking, and more. Gold. Gold. And what does David say here? David said that God's word is more to be desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, than the purest gold, than the tritest gold. He says, it's purer than that. But if you're going to get gold, guess what? Gold does not live on top of the earth. Where does gold normally derive from? You got to go down for gold. Now, you may find a gold ring laying on the side of the road. You may find some gold here or there. But gold has got to be mined for. Warren Wiersbe said it this way, if you want gold, silver, and jewels, you must dig for them. Very little treasure lies on the ground. How many of you ever found money? How many of you found a lot of money? How many of you find money every day? Yeah, I didn't think so. Why? Because somebody picked it up before you got there. Amen. Money is not found on the ground oftentimes. If you want wisdom, you must seek after her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, according to Proverbs 2. That means work. It means taking time to read, meditate, pray, and put truth into practice. In other words, what David is saying here, moreover, to be desired is the word of God, more than gold, yea, than much fine gold. If I'm going to desire that or covet that or lust for that, I've got to go after that. And it's not going to be easy. By the way, how many of y'all want to be rich? How many of y'all want to be well off? How many of y'all want to have enough for your needs? Amen. Yeah. Guess what? Even that costs you. That means you got to go to work. Man, you got to go to work. Yes, yeah, you got to go to work. Man, I thought it was going to be easy. Who told you that lie? Who told you that lie? How many of y'all wish that it was easy to be rich or wealthy, have what you need? All of us do. But then that contradicts what God said in the Garden of Eden. It was going to be toil and the sweat of your brow. Amen. He said, it's not going to come easy. But guess what? The word of God is the same way. It's not going to come easy. If I want to know about God, it's not going to come easy. God's not just going to say, well, you know, it's so easy to know me. Now, it is, but it is work. It costs work to know who God is. It costs you to get down and study, to get in the Word of God, to meditate, to pray and say, God, I want to know your will. I want to know your work. But it's going to take you some work. David said, though, it's more to be desired. It's more to be desired than gold, than fine gold. There's a poem here by Edwin Hodder, and it's called Thy Word is Like a Garden. It says, Thy Word is like a garden, Lord, with flowers bright and fair. And everyone who seeks may pluck a lovely cluster there. Notice that. Seek. Then you can pluck a lovely cluster there. Thy word is like a deep, deep mine and jewels rich and rare. And if they're deep, guess where you got to go? You got to go deep. Thy word is like a deep, deep mine and jewels and riches are rare. Are hidden in its mighty depths for every search there. Guess what there is? Search. Thy word is like a starry host, a thousand rays of light are seen to guide the traveler and make his pathway bright. So I got to travel. There's some work. Thy word is like an armory where soldiers may repair and find for life's long battle all needful weapons there. Guess what? If I'm going to find it, I've got to seek for it. Oh, may I love thy precious word. May I explore the mine. Mine means work. May I its fragrant flowers glean. May light upon me shine. Oh, may I find my armor there, thy word, my trustworthy sword. I'll learn to fight with every foe the battle of the Lord. Thy word is like a garden, but guess what? I've got to actually do some things. I've got to dig for this. And so David said, the Bible should be coveted. We should desire the Bible. Fine gold, more than fine gold. Notice Proverbs chapter 3. You're in Psalms now. Go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 13. Notice what the wisest man says about this in Proverbs chapter number 3. Verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. There's some searching there. And the man that getteth understanding. Notice this, verse 14. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than what? Fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. So getting the wisdom, getting the understanding, getting the word of God, he said it's better than the merchandise from silver or fine gold. It's better. Why? I need the word of God.
Yes, sir.
I need the word of God. We need to desire God's word. Back over in Psalms number 19. Not only does he say that we should desire the Bible, but also we should do something else with the Bible. We should digest the Bible. Notice what he says. Moreover, to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. By the way, honey back in those days was the sweetest thing known at that time in nature. It was ingested and then digested to taste its sweetness and its nutritional benefits. By the way, when I was growing up, if I had a sore throat, my mother gave me honey. When I had medicine that I didn't like, my mother would give me honey to chase it down. My mother would give me honey just about for any of the little illnesses that I had, especially when she gave me castor oil. How many of y'all parents gave you castor oil? Cotton liver oil. Amen. Only one back there. Amen. Brother, we were tortured, weren't we? Hey, it didn't taste good, but it cleaned your system out. Anything that was making you sick came out. But you had to get some honey to chase that down with. Cotton liver oil. So, and honey was there. Now, honey, by the way, has a lot of medicinal purposes as well. Notice what it says about honey. Raw honey contains disease-preventing and disease-fighting flavonoids. Did you know that? Honey. Raw honey contains both propolis and bee pollen, so you get the benefits of those two natural powerhouses as well. Now, I know my mother knew all that, but I tell you what, it sure tastes good. Honey has been scientifically proven to help with allergies. I need to take more of that. Diabetes, sleep problems. How many of y'all have a hard time going to sleep? Take some honey.
Yes, sir.
I'm not a doctor, so don't trust me on that. Amen. Coughs, wound healing, all that from honey. Even though honey contains simple sugars, it is not the same as white sugar or artificial sweeteners. Its exact combination of fructose and glucose actually helps the body regulate blood sugar levels. Wow. Some honeys have a low hypoglycemic index, so they don't jolt your blood sugar. How the kids, you know how the kids spike, then they crash and burn? Also, honey is a good source of antioxidants. Raw honey contains antioxidants called phenolic compounds. Antibacterial and antifungal properties are there. They heal wounds. They are filled with phytonutrients. They help for digestive issues. They soothe a sore throat. All that from honey. And so David said, you know, it's better than gold, but it's better than honey. One of the sweetest things that was out in nature at the time, he says, you know, it's sweeter than honey, and it's better than the medicinal benefits of honey. It does more than honey. Why? It keeps my soul clean. It helps my body. By the way, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Many of the problems that you and I face physically are from spiritual issues. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We harbor so much bitterness and guilt and anxiety and sorrow and suffering. We harbor so much in that we don't cast to the Lord that it gives us some problems physically. I'm not going to say all problems, but it gives us problems. But honey, he says down here, is really something. But he said the word of God is better. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey. And the honeycomb. So in other words, he says, David said, the word of God is sweeter than the honey. And there should be, it should be ingested, it should be taken in and then digested, broken down, absorbed and circulated or distributed into the body. And the word of God should be desired more than gold, sweeter than honey. By the way, you want your whole body, soul, and spirit to be preserved. And God says, my word can do that. First Thessalonians, let me read that scripture to you. Chapter number 5 and verse 20. Verse 23 and 24 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God, your whole spirit, what can do that? The word of God. And soul, what can do that? Word of God. And body, what can do that? The word of God. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What can make me blameless? The word of God. What can keep me clean? The word of God. What can help me out? The word of God. It's sweeter than honey. It's better than gold. It's the word of God. It can keep my spirit, my body, and my soul right with God. Amen. So what did David say here? He says it's something that should be coveted. He says with that covetousness, it should be desired, the Bible. It should be digested, the Bible. And then something else, he said, it should help with your direction. Verse number 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. By the way, adults, how many of y'all warn your children? Oh, all of us should. We say, if you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen. What is that? The law of sowing and reaping. David said here, you know what? I've got something here. I've got something called the word of God, but God is trying to direct me. It should be desired. It should be digested. It's something good for me, but it is something that's going to help give me direction. By the way, the Bible of the word of God is alive and directive. It keeps us straight and it straightens us out when we're crooked. Somebody say amen. Parents, don't you do that to your children? You want to keep your children straight. And when your children go crooked, what do? You straighten them out. And there are various ways to do that. Amen. We should be directed by the Bible. Say, preacher, what direction does the Bible give us? First of all, we're cautioned. Notice verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Warned means cautioned, basically. Admonished or enlightened. It means to be taught and trained. It means to know what's wrong and what's right. It means to be admonished at evil and good. It means to know what's God, or godly, and what's godless. By the way, there are a lot of things out in society that are good. But there are a lot of things out in society that are godless. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
A lot of things good, but a lot of things godless. And so it is going to caution me. He said, thy servant is warned. Go over to Proverbs, show you what I'm talking about here. Hold your finger there. Proverbs chapter number 1. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 10. Notice what the Bible says. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. What is that? A warning. He says, hey, young man, if sinners come and try to beckon you and call you over, don't give in. Don't consent to that. Hey, what do we tell our children? Don't talk to who? Don't talk to strangers. I did that with my son one time. My son said, well, Daddy, I don't have to worry about strangers. Because as soon as they talk to me, I'll just, and he began to do all this kung fu. And I said, oh, really? I said, come here. I said, talk to me. He began talking to me. I picked him up real quick and grabbed him and went away. I said, that's how quick a stranger can grab you. I said, now how much kung fu did you do on me? Well, that's different. I wasn't ready. Like, you're going to be ready for a stranger? They get you to talking. He said, if sinners entice, they consent not. Walk away from that foolish. No. I said, that's not kung fu. Who do you think you are, panda bear or something? That's not going to work. You're not Po. Well, I'll just do this. Wah! And your point is? Like, that's going to scare somebody away? He'll probably say, that's pretty good. I can do that too. Wah! And then what do you do? Hey, what am I saying? He says, by them is thy servant warned. I can be cautioned. He says, hey, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Notice what he says. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. He says, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, caution, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Hey, he said, it's more to be desired than gold, but these guys are trying to get illegal gold. They're trying to get evil and wicked gold. He said, don't go that way. While over by them is the servant warned, their caution. He says, watch out for them. Watch out for them. You come over to chapter number 2, you find the same thing. Notice verse number 10. He says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. What is this design? To deliver thee from the way of the who? The evil man. Who else? Verse 16. To deliver thee from who? The strange woman. He says, hey, moreover by them thy servant is warned. God's your word is more to be desired than gold. Yea, than fine gold. It's sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. Lord, it's going to caution me. It's going to warn me about that man that's kind of trying to get me. It's going to warn me about that woman who's going to try to get me. Don't you fall for the batting of their eyes. Oh, hey, big boy. Hey, big boy. Come over here. Hey, tall, handsome. Don't fall for that. And young ladies, don't fall for that. Oh, you're so cute. You look just like your mother. You ain't even seen my mother. Oh, aren't you just so adorable? Look at your ears. Look at your eyes. Oh, look at you. Don't you fall for that. There's a strange woman out there. There's an evil man out there. You better, children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What is he saying? He said, thy servant is warned. We're admonished. We're enlightened. We're taught and trained on wrong and right, on evil and good, on godly and godless. The caution is there. The warnings of the word are there. Caution, caution. You'll either be cautioned or you get caught up, one of the two. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. How many of our young people have been snared and ensnared into foolishness and sin that they didn't need to be in? They got caught up with the wrong crowd. They ran after this crowd to do this wickedness. They went after this crowd who said, oh, we're not going to do anything wrong. When in the bunch there was one that was ready to do wrong. And then they were victims of circumstance. They were accomplices. They were guilty by association. Hey, folks, I've had it happen to me. If only I had not run with that crowd, I wouldn't have had that black mark on my record. What is he saying? He said, moreover, thy servant is cautioned. We should be directed from it. We are cautioned, but also not only are we cautioned, we're compensated. Notice what he says back there in Psalm 19. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. God says, you know what? If you keep my word, you can stay out of trouble. So not only do I not get in trouble, I'm cautioned, but also I'm compensated. Keeping of them is great reward. The results are beneficial. Brother Jesse just taught on Wednesday night, James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. Notice the compensation. This man shall be what? Blessed. Yes. In his deed. How many of y'all want to be blessed? Either going to be blessed or cursed. Amen. One or two. I just want to be blessed. Amen. Joshua 1:8, it was said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written written therein. Notice this. Reward. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. The word prosperous means to advance, to make progress, to push forward. And then shalt thou have good success. Success means to have understanding, skill, or achievement of something desired. In other words, God said, Joshua, once you get down there and you start doing what I told you to do, if you obey all that is written therein, you're going to make your way prosperous. You're going to be able to push forward. You're going to be able to gain some ground. Ephraim needs to be over here. The other tribe, Issachar, needs to be over here. Gad needs to be over here. Hey, Judah needs to be over here. You're going to be able to push forward, Joshua. You're going to be able to gain some ground. He said, you're going to be a success. You're going to achieve something desired. What do you desire? We desire to go into Canaan land.
Yes, sir.
And we desire to go into Canaan land and push forward and wipe out the Canaanites.
Yes, sir.
He says, all right, Joshua, if you do my word, you teach everybody to do my word, then guess what? You're going to have some prosperity in your life. He says, you're going to be able to push forward, but then you're going to have some success. You're going to achieve what you desire. You desire the land, you're going to have the land. But guess what? All the Canaanites weren't driven out. Did they have the power? Yes. Did they have the ability? Yes. Did they have the might? Yes. They had everything they needed. But they just didn't do it. That's like some Christians. We have the word of God. We're warned. We're cautioned. Stay away from the evil man. We're warned. We're cautioned. Stay away from the wicked woman, the strange woman. We're warned. We're cautioned. Hey, we're cautioned. There's a reward for you. Compensation. But sometimes we just don't do it. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yes, sir.
But then the Bible says, there raised up another generation that knew not the Lord. That means somebody didn't push forward. Mm-hmm. That means somebody didn't achieve what they set out to achieve. That means that somebody didn't do the job when it came to their family. Was there a problem with the word of God? No, it wasn't a problem with the word of God. There was a problem with their compensation.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't heed the caution that was there. And they got involved with the strange woman. They got involved with the evil man. Instead of consenting not, they consented. And as a result, you know the rest of the story. So what am I saying here? He says, in keeping of them is great reward. I'm compensated. The psalmist says it this way in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh down the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the city of the scornful.
Amen.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's compensated. Psalm 94:12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. Psalm 112:1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. So David says, you know what? I should get direction from the word of God. He says in verse number 11, moreover by them is thy servant warned. I'm cautioned. He says, I'm compensated, and keeping of them is great reward. But then he says something else here. Can I be cautioned by them and compensated by them? I can be cleansed by them. Verse number 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. You know, sometimes you can sin and not even know you sinned. And you come across the word of God and you say, I didn't know that was sin. Amen. How many of y'all know that worry is sin? I didn't know worry was sin. Some folks say, well, why pray when you can worry? Well, why worry when you can pray? Amen. Did not he say, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you? Did he not say, come boldly to the throne of grace, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need? Did not say, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not? Then why worry? Did not say, be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God?
Amen.
Then worry is sin, because that means I'm not trusting God. Moreover, by them, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. We're cleansed. Cleanse thou me. The word of God is able to get us the cleansing to make us clean from unknown and known sins. I like a comment that John Phillips says about this passage of scripture here. He says there are two types of cleansing. There's a radical cleansing from sin that depends on the blood of Christ. But then he says there's also a recurrent cleansing from sin that depends on your reading of the word of God and applying the word of God. He said this recurrent cleansing was centered in the Old Testament times in the laver, first in the tabernacle and then in the temple. The laver was made of the mirrors of the women and filled with water. Thus it both revealed defilement and removed defilement. It symbolized the cleansing function of the Word of God, and we need to spend time daily in God's Word so that its convicting and convincing and cleansing action might act upon our souls. I think that's good.
Yes, sir.
So it cleanses us. Amen. He says we're cleansed by it. But then he says something else. Not only are we cleansed. By the way, the Bible still says this in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with how much of thy heart? All thy heart. And lean not unto whose understanding? I don't understand it. And all thy ways acknowledge who? Him. And he shall direct thy path. Now, why does God have to say that? Because Jeremiah 17 says the heart of man is deceitful above what? All things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, try the hearts. I try the reins. That's what God says. So you don't want to test it yourself. Let God test it for you and use the word of God. And so David says here, you know, thy servant is warned and keeping them this great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. He said, Lord, I need you to watch over me. I need you to cleanse me. And Lord, I need to be in your word so that I can be cautioned against what is wrong and what is right, because I want to be compensated. But then there's something else that David says here in verse 13. We want to be constrained. Verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Do you think that maybe, just maybe, David is thinking about the sin with Bathsheba and Uriah? He's been there. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Notice this. Let them not have dominion over me. You remember the story. David should have been out to battle when kings go out to battle. And he looked out and saw a damsel washing herself. And he said, who is that? And they said, is this not Uriah the Hittite's wife? And David said, send her for me. And she came in. And you know the rest of the story. He knew what he was doing. That's presumptuous. And then she came back and said, I'm with child. And so he called for Uriah. Come here, Uriah, I need you to go down and see your wife and do this, that, and the other. And yeah, go see your wife. And he tried to pin it off on Uriah. And when he couldn't pin it off on Uriah, what did he do? He had him killed. What is that? Presumptuous sin. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Say, preacher, what's the equivalent? When you take something and you know before you take it that it's sin. When you say something and you know before you say it, it's sin. When you go someplace and before you go anyway, knowing it's sin. When you do something and before doing it, you know it's sin and you do it anyway, that's called presumptuous sin. David says, hey, look, Lord, if you're going to caution me, if you're going to compensate me, if you're going to keep me cleansed, and Lord, I need you to constrain me. I don't know my own heart. I may do that unthinkable thing. I may go the unthinkable place. I may see the unthinkable thing. I may want to do the unthinkable thing. Lord, I need you to constrain me. I got issues. I got problems. Hey, if you're not going to be honest with anybody else, be honest with God. Be honest with God. Say, God, I got issues with smoking. I got issues with drinking. I got issues with cursing. I got issues with lust. I got issues with stealing. I got issues with fornication. Lord, I got issues with these things. Lord, help me. I'm a thief. I steal. I lie. I cheat. Lord, help me and keep me back from presumption that I can walk out and do it and it's going to be okay. Because I assure you it's not. Was it okay for David? Nathan said, thou art the man. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For it's a man, so that shall he also reap. David wants the word of God to keep him back or restrain him, preserve him, protect him from sin, and most of all, protect him from himself. Presumptuous or arrogant or proud sins, like the matter of Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba, I'm sure plagued his mind. David is saying, don't let them have rule over me. So I can be upright or complete or innocent or clean from transgression or rebellion against God. Notice what he says. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. The model prayer says, lead us not into temptation, but what? Deliver us from evil or the evil one. God, I don't want to get in that situation. If I find myself in that situation, Lord, deliver me. Get me out of that situation. Lord, give me the way to escape. There hath no temptation take you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to what? Bear it. In other words, God's going to give you an escape route. If he doesn't give you an escape route, he's going to give you his grace, which both are able to take care of you and I. In other words, find that in God's word. God's word, we're constrained. John Phillips has another good quote on that one as well. We'll read that one. He says now, think of it. We're washed from unwitting sins and withheld from presumptuous sins by the power of God. He says, a lady once asked a captain if he knew where all the rocks and the shallows were in the sea. The captain replied, oh no, he said, pointing to his chart, but I know where the deep water is. And God's word is our chart, which will steer us clear of the rocks, keep us in the deep water. David knew about presumptuous sins. They had all but wrecked his life, but God's word has the power to correct us and keep us in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I value my fellowship with my God, and I hope you do as well. So David says that the Bible should direct us. We are cautioned by it. We're compensated by it. We're cleansed by it. We're constrained by it. And lastly, verse 14, we're cognizant of it. He said, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God says, or David says, I know a little bit about myself. And what I know about myself is that my mouth can get out of control. The word cognizant means having knowledge of or being aware of something. David closes by saying, Lord, please let my mouth and my meditation be magnifying to you. Let my attitude and my actions be acceptable. Lord, I know myself. And so, Lord, let the words of my mouth and my meditation be and my heart be acceptable. Why? Because I want a fellowship with my God, and the word of God can do that. He knows himself and he's honest with himself. I know I can be presumptuous. I know I can be a sinner. I know I can be wicked. I know what I've done. Folks, and if you're like me, you need to say the same thing. I know what I can do. I know what I'm capable of. I know what I can do left to myself. I know what I can see left to myself. I know what I can say left to myself. I know what I can do left to myself. I know where I can go left to myself. I know what I'm capable of when someone gets on my nerves. I know what I'm capable of when someone calls me a name. I know. Hey, you need to know what you're capable of. But the word of God is there to help us, to get us out of that. And David says, there's a lot of things that I am. But let me tell you one thing I know I am. I'm dependent on God. I may not be the best king there ever was. I may not be the most upright king there ever was. But I've got the most upright God. And I've got the best book in the world, the Bible. And it needs to be desired. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord, it's sure. It makes wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord, they're right. They rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord, it's pure. It enlightens my eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. It's enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord, he said, they're true. They're righteous altogether. He says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. It's sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. He says, moreover, by them thy servant is warned. Keeping of them is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression. I won't do what I want to do. He says, Lord, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength. He says, God, when you look down, I want you to see someone that you can enjoy looking at. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus Christ? When God looks down, he sees the blood. Hallelujah. But you know, we still have to fellowship with our God. We have to fellowship. And you want to be able to fellowship with God. And David gives us the remedy right here to have not only fellowship with God, but fellowship with each other. Fellowship with each other. He said, you know what? God's word, it cautions me. It compensates me. It cleanses me. It constrains me. He said, I'm cognizant of my behavior around God. And by the way, if you're cognizant of your behavior around God, everybody else falls in that same category. You'll be aware of people around you. David said, I don't want to do the unthinkable, to presume upon God. Oh, sinner, don't presume upon God thinking you got tomorrow. You need to get saved today if you're not saved. Don't presume upon God's grace. Well, you know, preacher, I made it this far, and I think I'll make it tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now, Christians, we have the grace of God, but if you're here without Jesus Christ, you're not promised tomorrow. And the day of your redemption needs to be today. The Bible clearly says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, I hope you will have the same desire that David has here. He says, more to be desired than gold. Yea, fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Now, I like honey. But he says, this is sweeter. This is sweeter. Notice what it does for me. It does many, many different things. Now, I don't know what your problem is today, but I do trust that the Holy Spirit has pointed out to you several reasons why you need to covet the Bible, the Word of God. Why you need to have the Word of God. And what you're going to do with the Word of God. Don't leave here different. I mean, don't leave here the same way you came in. Leave different. Say, you know what, Lord, I see what you said down here. I fall in the same category that David does down here. I want to be constrained. I want to be kept back. I want to be cognizant of my walk with you. I want to be cleansed from my sin. I want to be compensated, Lord. I want to be cautioned. I don't want to listen to the wicked people. Lord, I want to make sure that I desire your word and digest your word and follow its direction. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, I invite you. Accept him as your Lord. Accept him as your Savior. If you're here today as a Christian, fall back in love with the word that can keep you close to your God and help you walk. He loves you and he wants to hear from you. And I'm sure you want to hear from him. It's going to take a little work. Why? Like gold, didn't come easy. But it can come. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed on looking around. Father, bless now this invitation. Lord, I pray that hearts have been brought closer to you. And Lord, lives have been challenged today. I pray that we might desire your word a little bit more than we did before. We might have it to be exactly what we need in our lives today. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed on looking around. God spoke into your heart during the invitation. I do pray you'll move. But if you're here today without Jesus Christ, I want to invite you personally and specially. Would you let me take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? If you're a man, we'll get a man and show you how you can be saved. If you're a woman, we'll get a woman and show you how you can be saved. But we want to see you leave here today with Jesus Christ. All of what I said matters not if you're not born again. But if you are born again, would you ask God to bring you back in love with his word, giving you a fresh desire, giving you a special zeal for his word? Bless now, Lord, these next moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. As Natasha plays, maybe God spoke into your heart this morning. Maybe like David, you might say the same things that David said. Moreover, by them as thy servant warned. God warned me. You might say, more to be desired are they than gold. Yea, fine gold. Lord, I want to desire your word. Lord, it's sweeter than a honeycomb. I want to have it as the sweetness in my life. Maybe you might say, keeping of them is great reward. Lord, I need some benefits to the word of God. I need to keep it so I can get some of these benefits. David said, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. I don't want to walk and do things I know I ought not do. Lord, keep me back. I don't want them to have dominion over me. Maybe that's you. Maybe today you need to come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Would you come? Would you come? It won't take but a moment of your time. God loves you. Jesus died for you. The hard part is done. For God so loved the world that he gave. You just need to come. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Say, preacher, I'm already saved. Have you surrendered to baptism? Baptism is a the next step for the believer. Identify with Jesus Christ and his death and burial and his resurrection. Or perhaps maybe you need to join this church. You're already saved. You're already baptized. Would you come? Would you come? Maybe you need to step out to fulfill the will of God today. Fall more in love with his word. Keep me back, Lord, from presumptuous sins. Help me, Lord. Maybe you've got loved ones, son, daughter, husband, wife, relative, co-worker. They really need you to stand in the gap for them and pray for them. They don't see that they're being presumptuous on God. They're presuming on God. They don't see the dangers. David said, "Moreover, thy servant is warned." They don't see the dangers. Maybe that son, that daughter, that husband, that wife doesn't desire the word of God like they should. You can't desire for them, but you can sure pray for them. Lord, give them more of a desire for your word. Lord, give them more of a love for your word. Lord, help them to see that it's better than gold. Yea, fine gold. Lord, it's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Maybe you need to do that today. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, much fine gold. Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for David being used of the Holy Spirit to pen down this psalm. Lord, what a marvelous psalm it is, talking about what the Word of God does and the benefits as a result. Lord, thank you for the many things that your Word does for us in keeping us straight and then straightening us out when we're crooked. And God, I pray that areas by the Spirit of God were pointing out to us today that we need to take heed to. Lord, I pray that we would take control of those areas and cast them at your feet and allow you, Lord, to direct us, as David said. Thank you for loving us, Lord. I do pray that you might continue to meet our need as we come to the table to feast at your word. Lord, help us to see that it may not be applicable to us right now, but something may be just around the corner that we need this particular word today for. And God, help us not to have it to fall upon deaf ears nor deaf hearts, but be hearers of the word and then doers of the work as well. Mining out the wisdom of God, seeking out the sweetness of God, and applying it to the areas of our soul and our bodies that need a refining. Lord, there's one again lost. Don't let them leave without getting it settled today before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for your goodness. Bring our loved ones back to us safely. And Lord, bring us back out tonight to enjoy the video that you have for us. And thank you again for being a God that loves us through and through, with all of our faults, with all of our shortcomings, and everything about us. You still love us. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Max, Brother LaPar, if you would lift your voice and close us in a word of prayer. And don't forget the video tonight at 5 p.m.